God, fella.
Blog Talk Radio.
If you're out there watching on simulcast, if you're watching the live television too,
We want you to chime in the chat room in the radio show, or chime in the chat room on live on the Barbecue Superstars website, and let's talk barbecue. We've got an hour. We've got a lot of time. We've got a lot of knowledge right here. I know these fellas are tired, though, but don't come with a whole lot of bull jive. Let's talk about serious business so we can get out of here and go get something good to eat. So go ahead, start with you.
Frank Cox, smokebuilder.com. Right next to me here. Go ahead.
I'm Paul Shirley of Shirley Fabrications, a.k.a. TQ, Tuskless Q.
Been a long day. It's hard to remember our own names.
What's your name, Zara?
I am Derek. I'm also known as the Czar. And I ain't done nothing here today. But watch these guys bust their butt.
Yeah, you did some heavy lifting.
Yeah, you helped out. You
put the gloves on.
Then we got our forestry expert over here, and also subbed as a big-time smoker builder. What's your name, bud?
I'm Mike, also known as Mike Forrester, I guess. I'm just a peon.
And then we got a fellow today that, now, you know, I know some of you out there who have tried to cut a straight line, like myself. And I know some of you who's tried to lay a bead, screwed it up so bad, you know, they had to grind it all off and start over again, like me. And this young man right here is very, very talented. And between him and his father today, they did a huge project. And, you know, to end it all off the season, after all these straight cuts and accurate work today, this young man laid a bead all the way around on the doors, cut the doors out. And, you know, if you'd have got a machine with a laser cutter, I don't think you could have done better, or maybe not as good. And introduce yourself, young man.
Tyler Shirley with Shirley Fabrication.
Yeah. And I tell you, now, there's a lot of talent sitting around here. And Frank Cox, for everybody who don't know, and I'll tell you, this is one intelligent young man here. I tell you now, restaurant equipment, smokers, electronics, broadcasting equipment. I don't think there's anything that Frank Cox can't master as long as he got mechanical and got a schematic. And Frank, let's start off about, give us a little of your history as to how in the world you learn all the stuff you know.
Well, you know, they on Facebook, you put in your what school you went to, and it's this University of School of Hard Knocks, you know, University of Life, and that's really it, man. I mean, I think Paul could say the same thing about him, you know. It's just a matter of getting out there, and I know Derek says the same thing. It's a matter of getting out there and just don't take no for an answer, you know. So out of high school, of course, I had no skills whatsoever, you know, begged my way into a job in the heating and air business. And the guy that hired me basically hired me because he didn't think I'd last. He just wanted to get me shut up. And so, you know, I went to work for him in August 26, 1994, and, you know, stuck in there for 8 years. He taught me the refrigeration trade and heating and air and sheet metal, and you know, I started welding a little bit back then, and, you know, it's all pretty much downhill from there. But I worked for him for 8 years, and then 2002, I had what I call an entrepreneurial seizure and decided I was going to fire my boss and start my own business, and he was gracious enough to give me a leg up in becoming a business owner, and he helped me out and started my own heating and air business, and that's when I really learned. Because then my butt was on the line instead of his. And so, you know, I just started out, you know, doing heating and air and refrigeration, kitchen equipment. And, you know, a few years back, my brother took over and, you know, he runs the company here. And I started smokerbuilder.com. That's where I came from.
Well, Paul, tell us a little bit about your background. Now, I know you've worked on some big projects and you've went in as a welder and as a fabricator on stuff that, you know, a lot of us wouldn't even think about trying to venture into. And,
right.
You know, without giving out any military secrets or anything, or, you know,
Tell us a little bit about your background.
Well, I got into fabrication right out of high school. I went to work with a general contractor who had a bunch of pipe fitters and stuff. And worked with him a little while, saw that, decided I'd go to trade school, took up welding, and started working with the boilermakers and shops and stuff. Did that for several years, left there and went to an advanced pipe welding school, decided I wanted to get into that. Then I started kind of traveling around the country, hitting big, you know, shutdowns and big construction jobs. And then came back from that, got into Boilermakers Union, and, you know, got real versed in welding a lot of exotic metals, Econel, Monel, Pastelloy, titaniums, anything with a lot of different welding processes, you know. And I did that for years, you know, and then started running my own welding rig for a contractor, that truck like I have out there. And then, you know, down the road, I finally got into, you know, I cook. I loved to barbecue all my life. My dad had he was a master carpenter. He had a pit outside, and, you know, a brick pit that he made. And we did that. And my brother had a reverse flow cooker 30 years ago and cooked on it. And about 5 years ago, me and Tyler decided, man, we need to build a cooker, you know. And we built one, and, you know, it worked good. But at that given time, I was really not versed in the dynamics of cookers. You know, people, you just don't go out and build a cooker, you know, because if you do, chances are it's not going to operate right, you know. And everything about a cooker, you know, has got to be size right, and, you know, the dynamics, the geometry. All that has to be right for the work, and we got into doing that, and we've officially opened our business about 3 years ago, and Shirley Fabrication, and just now got an online website. It's www.shirleyfabrication.com, and we do a lot of custom cookers, and we do, you know, ornamental iron work. Tyler, my son, started with me when he was 14 years old, and he is. I consider him a master fabricator. He can do anything. Layout work. I mean, he's awesome. And, I mean, you just go to the site and look at some of his work, and you'll see. You know, so we you know, and I got affiliated with Frank about what two years ago, something like
that.
Yeah,
been that long.
Yeah, I can't believe it. It's crazy. You
Jeez, know, got time
on just flies. That's right. Got on the Puckle Builder site, man, and learn a lot, and just. Went to the Jack with him last year and had an awesome time. It's the barbecue community is an awesome community.
Yeah, it's
really, really
like
is. It's nothing like it. And we're going to continue to build cookers, and I can tell you what we're going to do. We're going to build quality cookers. We're going to build stuff that looks like a master craftsman in doing it. We're not going to sacrifice that for anything.
Well, one thing I will put on top of that, and you guys listen to what old Daryl tells you, because I wouldn't steer you wrong. When you see that Shirley name, by God, it means precision. And what we had going on out here today was precision. And those cuts, those measurements, I watched everything you did. And by God, when you put it all up together, it all fit. Now, I watched the tank when you had the little V's there. And I watched the young man there cut out the plates, go make the V's, line them up.
That's right.
And I was standing there. I didn't know what was going to happen when you set the tank on the V. And by God, that something stood right up level, perfect. I was like, damn.
Something at the end. Did you see me flip the tank off?
Yeah. When you guys decided to move it back.
Yeah,
we
want to get the desired perfect tongue weight. And to me, that's, you know, important, because I don't want, 53 years old now, I don't want to bust a gut, and I don't want somebody else to have to either, if you're going to. But I appreciate Frank having us up, you know, with what we got going on here. Can I say a little bit about that?
Absolutely, man.
We're
yeah.
doing this cooker will be donated to, I think you're going to set up a raffle thing, correct?
It's already set up. It's live. You can buy tickets right now.
Yeah, so this cooker, every bit of the proceeds, every dime will go to the veteran, you know, and it's when Frank hit me up with it, I'm like, immediately, I didn't have to think about it. I'm in, man. Heck yeah, brother, we coming. You just expect us to show up, you know.
Yeah.
And, you know, and it's about giving back. It is.
It is.
It's not about taking all the
yeah.
time. It's yeah. just about giving back to people who had freely given to us. You know, your veterans that have laid their lives down. And it's an awesome thing, you know. It's,
mm-hmm.
it's just good. And, you know, and everybody here, you know, DC, Mike, all y'all, Smoke One, Mike, you know, I mean, just And more people's coming, I think, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's an awesome thing to be able to do that. And, you know, I appreciate my son, Tyler. You know, he's 24 now?
24.
Yep. You didn't get off the phone with them girls or whatever she took that, you know. But for him to be willing to come, you know, I told him what we were doing. He's like, yeah, I'm coming, Dad.
He's cool.
I appreciate that. I do. You know, he's an awesome young man. You know, naturally, he's my son, but he's my business partner, and I'm telling you, he's sharp. If he does something, it's going to be right. He helps me out a lot. We argue a little bit. I don't know if we argue because I'll always lose, so I give in.
Yeah, you
were
standing over there against that thing and toward the beginning of the day, and you went over and asked him something. All I did was look at you.
He gave me that look like, you know, come on, Dad.
Well, you know, on that note about the veterans now, me and Frank, and I'm going to tell you, Frank, it's just as precision, and this is a group of guys right here that belong together, and they learn from each other, and what's coming out of this collaboration that we have sitting around this table today and SmokerBuilder.com and the forums is going to be cookers of a new grade. You know, there have been some good cookers in the past that got us to where we're at today, but the future of new grade cookers is sitting around this table right here. But we went to the veterans home, and I want to give Frank a few minutes to talk about the experience we had today. There was a fellow there that was in the Navy 30 years. And Frank, just take us through the tour we had today and some of the situations that went on up at the veterans home that were so touching.
I got a cookie in my mouth.
Oh!
No, here, I'll do it. All right. So, I mean, I've been around the veterans home in St. James a lot of times. But, you know, I think today was a little bit different. You know, the video is going to be uploaded here after a while. We did live stream the whole time Daryl and I were there. And the video quality wasn't that great because we had bad reception. But later tonight we'll upload that and you can watch it again. But we went down there and just to kind of get a feel for what the facility is and kind of show everybody, you know, what we're doing this for, you know, what has happened, why are we throwing all this money at this pit and donating it to that deal for a raffle and having this barbecue competition and all that. I got to tell you, it is a pretty emotional experience for me. You know, because, you know, we enjoy a lot of freedoms here in America. And, you know, the whole reason we enjoy those freedoms is because people laid down their lives for our freedom. And how many people's in that place?
150.
150 veterans reside there. And how many's on the waiting list? 270 more people.
270, yeah.
270 more veterans are on the waiting list to get into that facility. Now, there's seven of those facilities around Missouri, and it's in the thousands of people, of veterans that are in the waiting list to get into one of those facilities across the state of Missouri. So anyway, it's a really well put together organization. And, you know, so we're strolling through there and we're taking a tour of the facility, you know. And when you first come in the front door, the thing that messes me up the most about the whole place is when you first come in the front door, there's a roped off section that's got a place setting for POW MIAs, and you know, it's a full table setting. It's got all the stuff. There are no condiments, but the, you know, salt and pepper shaker, and it's, you know, a vase with a flower in it. Everything on the table's got a meaning that's on the table, and there's a board there that tells you about it, you know, and you know, you just kind of forget about those. I mean, this is human nature. You get involved in your day to day operations, and it's easy to forget, you know. Those guys aren't forgetting. That's a big deal. And, you know, there's a guy down there. I can't remember names right now. One guy, Chief, we interviewed him right out the gate as soon as we got in there. They call him Chief. And he's a Desert Storm veteran. And there's another guy we saw in the hallway. You know, he's rolling through there going to supper. And, you know, like Daryl said, he's been in the Navy. He was in the Navy, retired, 30 years. Fought at the end of World War II. He was 17. 7 days after he turned 17, he was in boot camp going to Navy. And he fought the tail end of World War II, fought Korea, fought Vietnam. And, you know, retired 30 years later. That's a big deal. And so, you know, they're taking care of those guys and providing an awesome lifestyle. And, you know, it's a very respectful place. And, you know, the place has been around since the end of the Civil War. You know, there's I can't remember how many Civil War veterans, both Union and Confederate, that are buried there. You know, it's an awesome deal. So we're very privileged to have the opportunity to do something for this facility and what they do. You know, so yeah, it was a great experience going down there and hanging out with those guys.
Yeah. Now the thing that the administrator or the head guy said was that the federal government only pays to keep the electric, water, telephone, and strictly the bills to buy food and facilitate the human needs upkeep of those veterans. So all the other stuff, there's absolutely no money for. And so this event is one of the key things that they lean on to buy clothes.
Yeah, any entertainment, vehicles, any kind of it's called the Assistance League. Any assistance that the veterans need to enjoy the lifestyle that they have there, whether it be entertainment at the facility there, or you know, special meals, Christmas presents, birthday presents, you know, trips to Cardinal, you know, baseball games, you know, whatever. That all comes out of the Assistance League, which is a nonprofit 501c3 organization. And, you know, none of those folks are paid. They're all complete 100% volunteers. And the majority of those folks are veterans themselves. They're members of the VFW. And so, you know, that's what all this is about. The barbecue contest, the event that's held around the barbecue contest coming up November 8th and 9th, and also the build that we're doing, two builds. Actually, we're doing this build. We're doing a patio model. Both of them to be raffled off, among other things. So that's what it's all about. That's what they do.
Now, let's shift gears a little bit. Now, Smoker Builder Forum is the whole reason everybody's here. And so you want to get into what everybody's personality is on Smoker Builder Forums. And you look over here at Mr. Forestry and the Czar and all these guys, you just wonder what kind of a party they're having on the forum.
Well, the czar got his name because, you know, he was always the guy sitting out there yelling about no pics never happened. So one of the guys started calling him the photo czar, like kind of like the car czar back in the, you know, whenever that whole cash clunkers thing was happening. So give him what for the czar.
Well, everybody would always say, oh, I cooked this weekend and it was so great. And we built this week and it was so great. And I would say, well, show us a picture. You have a camera. We
no,
have,
it's
a,
never
we
happened.
Forgot to take pictures. Well, then I guess it really just never happened. So the proof is in the pudding. And I didn't let anybody escape this. Everybody was subjected to having show pictures to show that they really did what they say they were doing. Anybody can say they did something. You know, but if I don't see it, I don't believe
it. Well, I mean, if you really did do something like that, you'd want to take a picture.
That's right. You should be proud of what you did. You
I mean, today, first thing we did is take all our phones out and shoot everything that was
going
on.
You know,
sharing pictures.
There's no reason not to be able to take a picture of something.
Yeah. Oh, God, I know he's going to catch me in a line in just a few minutes. Now, now, how did you get your forestry name? What happened on the forums that made you the forestry man?
That's just my name I put on there. I use it for everything.
Oh, you do?
It's easy to remember, isn't it?
Well, that's his, I guess that's
my
job.
Last name.
That's his trade.
Oh, okay.
You work in forestry.
Yeah.
Oh,
okay. I'm a forester.
Well, you know, tell us a little bit about that. Now, I'm interested to find out about this stuff. I know it has a lot to do with parks and then areas that are not, you know, people are not allowed to go on to. What do they call them, reserves?
See, we don't do that so much here. We're different in this state, Missouri Department of Conservation. It's a lot of open land. It's there for outdoor recreation, period. It's not so much a lot of developed hiking trails and nature-centered. I mean, there is some of that, but most of it's open ground here. Anybody can go hunting, fishing, river access to hunting, and go to a lot of other states, and that's just not the case anymore. You've got to have a lot of money in hand to be able to afford a hunting lease to be able to enjoy some of those things.
Now, have you ever seen any bears?
Yes, I have.
Are there a lot of bears in Missouri? I don't know.
There's a few.
Oh, they are? What kind are they?
Those aren't bears. They're black bear.
Black bear.
Yeah.
Oh, we call them honey bears.
Well, I guess, I think it was in the 50s, Arkansas started a reintroduction program for them. And so they pulled them out of Minnesota and so forth. And so here in the last few years, they finally decided, well, they want to start finding out what kind of populations are here and what the genetics are. And when they reintroduced those guys into Arkansas, they knew what the genetics were. So they started doing study on the ones here and found out there were remnant populations that were always here hidden in the Ozarks.
Oh, no!
So they weren't transplants.
They were transplants.
Here.
They were the original deal.
Wow.
And so now we've got a growing population.
Wow. Well,
that's great.
Black bears, do they attack people more than other bears?
They don't attack people. There hasn't been a documented record of attack since they've been restored.
Okay.
I mean, I've been meeting you from them.
Didn't do nothing.
No, they're curious and pretty calm.
So I'm sitting here and a black bear walks up in my yard, you know, he's probably 30 feet from me. What do I do?
Don't hold out a donut.
Or don't be carrying a trash can or something, you know.
So they'll eat you instead of the donut when they get to it. I mean,
well, they get that donut and they're bound to want a little more.
Yeah, that's what'll happen.
Well, it's mostly be big, be loud, and I think don't make eye contact for a call ride.
Okay.
But try to be big, be loud, and honestly, going through the woods, be loud. If you surprise them, that's where you get into a little bit of trouble. But as long as you don't surprise them, you ought to be all right.
Well, now, Czar, on an average day, you log into Smoker Builder Forum, you know. What do you usually do? What usually goes on Smoker Builder on an average day?
For me, it's a little different because I'm a moderator. So part of my function is to make sure people are not being abusive or posting inappropriate material. So that's usually the first thing I'm doing is going through the context of what they're typing to make sure there's nothing in there that's inappropriate. And then I get to have fun by seeing what people said, and if I don't like it, I just change it.
Change it, make fun of it.
Make fun of it then, yeah.
Be ornery.
That's my function.
I tried a forum one time a long time ago, and every time I went and checked it, which there was almost nobody on it, I had a bunch of dang people trying to sell, like, drug company stuff and all this kind of junk.
We call those spammers.
Spammers. We have a dungeon for those people we created. It's quite comical. So what he does – well, go ahead, DC.
So when a spammer hits the site, the first thing that happens is they get banned, so they are not able to get back onto the site. They get moved to the dungeon. Then they get all their context erased.
Or changed. If it depends on how funny it was.
Right. From there, they get a new avatar.
Yeah.
Which is usually not cool of an avatar for them. And then I usually put a little video clip of a guy dressed
Spam as hammer.
Yeah, he's dressed as a can of Spam and he gets hammered. So.
We don't have such a bad spam problem anymore. Everybody's pretty legit that gets on there.
Used to be a problem, but I think with the help of Allie Rat.
Yeah, Allie Rat, we got to give him a shout out. He really turned that whole deal around for us. We used to have a pretty bad problem with that.
Oh, kind of helped.
It was fun. It was fun, you know, to have that problem, but thank God it's over.
Kind of helps the credibility too. As a new guy, if you get on there first thing, you got six people trying to sell you something or talk about, hey, we built this and this and this, and then. Well, yeah, great for you.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I always said that a lot of it's just some guy over, you know, who knows where in the world, sitting in his basement, just can't got nothing better to do but just mess with people. And, you know, one guy in particular, do you remember the one about the cheap airline tickets? Man, that was funny. The whole deal was like, it's like he copied out of a storybook some kind of a story that made absolutely no sense, or a combination of two or three different stories. And then in between, like, every sentence, he would say cheap airfare tickets, and it was a hyperlink to some other crap site that didn't even have nothing to do with cheap airline tickets. I don't even know what it was. And that was a fun one. But what was he – wasn't it Robin Hood or something?
I don't remember the guy's
name. It's something like Robin Hood was the story he started with. Sherwood Forest and things like that. It was dang funny.
Bizarre is what it was.
Yeah, so anyway, that was a good one. But then, you know, there's been other guys like a manufacturer of a foil dispenser got on there one time and you know, he joined up, just made his own name, you know, what his product was, and just said, hey, you know, if you want to buy one of these things, go here, and never see him again. You know, didn't do anything to contribute. He just wants to sell his product. Well, you know, that's fine and everything. There's a place for that. But, you know, just like all the other big forums out there, you know, Phil Rizzardi, you know, he's the owner of the Barbecue Brethren, which is an amazing site, by the way. And we love our brothers over at the Brethren. And, you know, they got a thing in their rule book. It's an awesome set of rules. And they say, you know, we don't mind you promoting your product or whatever, you know, very on the down low or whatever. But, you know, if you're not going to contribute, don't post it. You know, you need to be in here helping out something relevant, you know. So, yeah, we learned that behavior, that whole deal from Phil. He's awesome. And,
well, Phil,
that's kind of how we run it. Tight ship.
Paul, now let me ask you now. What's been some of your wildest experiences on Smoker Silver since you've been part of it?
Wow, my wildest experience.
I know one.
I'm trying to think. Oh,
bring it up.
I'm trying to think.
There was a gentleman who posted pictures of a trailer that.
Oh
built,
man.
And.
You and Tom, let's have
Tom and you tried to give him
some good sound advice. I mean, it was the most.
Well, tell them about
the guy was
asking about the trailer.
For trouble. I mean,
tell them a little bit about
God,
the trailer.
I can't remember what it was. Didn't he have to
two
have
by
a,
two by like
and had a tongue stuck out there about from here to that truck, you know?
But it wasn't even that; it was doubled up.
Yeah,
halfway. It was a death trap
waiting, and we tried to tell him, you know. I think he got a little.
He got very offended by the whole thing, and he, you know, basically said that, you know,
it ain't gonna hurt me. Well, it
right.
ain't you that we're worried about. It's the family in the van behind you that we're worried about, you know. So
yeah.
Well, the fun part about it was, I think he's the one that's asking about advice, and then you tell him your advice.
I think it'll be all right, you know.
Yeah. Because when somebody asks you something, I mean, you're going to tell them. So you're going to try to give them good sound advice. I mean, he didn't want to hear it, did he?
No, he
didn't. I
didn't
move it much longer after then. I was like, okay, I'm just going to stay off the road.
Well, you know, and the thing about it is that, you know, Smoker Builder's vision is, I mean, it says right at the top of the page in the picture at the top, learn to build a smoker. That's what it's all about. And, you know, it's a lot of fun, but we want to teach. That's what it's all about. We want to teach people what we know and help them spend their money and build a pit, you know. We love to spend other people's money, watch the build come together, you know. And that's the point, you know. You get on there and post something like that, you know. Well, we're gonna defend, you know, everybody and try to keep things safe and educate you. You know, we're not trying to poke fun or nothing. It's all about you learning something and going away from there, you know, with a better idea. And so it's always bad whenever somebody gets offended about it, you know.
Well, I tell you, Precision Performance, you know, kick-ass barbecue. I mean, that's really what SmokerBuilder.com and the relationship that you guys all have together is based on. And, you know, in a big way, since I got here, this morning, you know, I think I finally understand, and it's about excellence. You know, it's about coming up with an idea that's an age-old, been done for 30-year idea, but turning it into something that just performs to the T, you know, and pull it out on the site. You got 1,000 people to feed. You got the damn piece of equipment that's going to lay it out there. And it's about making barbecue cooks' life easier and better is what it
yeah.
is.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you know, there's 100 ways to skin a cat, you know, and like the iPhone, for instance. You wonder with all this technology they keep coming out with, you know, they may build a better phone, and you get the latest model and you just sit there and think, man, what else can they possibly do to make this better? Well, some guy comes up with another idea. That's what we do with cookers, you know. There's a guy, he'll be here tomorrow, Rick.
we call him Gizmo Rick on the site. That guy is a crafty son of a gun, man. He comes up with some of the coolest stuff, gizmos, little, you know, nobody else pays attention to. He comes up with some cool stuff, you know.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it's all about.
Yeah, I tell you, man, it's a cool community to be a part of. And, you know, you got to love cookers and you got to love barbecue to really be a part of this community, because just like the czar said a few minutes ago, somebody doesn't really know anything about barbecue, wants to go in there and blow his horn so he can be part of the community. It ain't going to take you guys more than 5 or 10 minutes to figure out he's full of junk, isn't it?
Well, I mean, you know, come in with an open mind. Be willing, be bendable, be moldable. Yeah, have an open wallet. We'll help you spend that money.
well,
you spend it on your own bill. We're not trying to get it from you. We're trying to help you spend your money for a better cooker that you built.
Well, see, I think Frank's vision in the beginning, and it still is today, is anybody can take $500 and they can go to the local big box store and pick up a cooker, a grill, and cook some meat. You know, you or I can do that. There are other people, though, that want more. Just, it's the same thing with a car. I mean, I can go out and buy a Volkswagen Bug and be happy, but I want more than that. I want something I can take something around with, you know, haul stuff. So you need a truck. These pits that we build, especially Paul and Tyler, these are things that are built for your life. You will have this for your life. You will have this to pass down from generation to generation. Even commercial cookers, and I don't want to name names on the, you know, but there are commercial cookers that are still not as built as well as these cookers, and these cookers are probably just the same price that they build and that we build. And it's all about, you know, quality and excellence, and that's what we want to promote. We want you to know that when you buy something from somebody here, it's worth the money. Really, it is.
Yeah, you're right. A custom cooker is an investment. It's just like some people want to invest in four-wheelers and three-wheelers and used jet skis, and people that are into cooking and barbecuing want to invest in, you know, a cooker. Or if you invest good money in a cooker, you should get a good sound cooker. It's something that if you take care of your cooker, you can pass it down to the next generation, and you're not.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, and the what separates, you know, a backyard pit from a commercial pit, or even just a pit that's built like by Iron Man Cookies, which is my brand, or Shirley Fabrication, which is Paul's brand, you know, that – what separates those out is that we're not a production assembly line trying to make money and make the big billion. We're building each pit one at a time, and the passion has not been sacrificed for the next dollar. So, yeah, lean manufacturing, getting better at what we're building, you know, fine-tuning our design, making it easier to build, yeah. But at the same time, the passion's still there for what we do. We're proud of our brand. We're proud of our cookers. We're not trying to ship a boxcar load of these pits, you know. So, you know, and there's a lot of good commercial builders out there that have that Jambo, for instance, builds a dynamite pit, and you're going to pay dearly for it because he believes in his brand. It's an awesome pit, a lot of money being won on those pits. He's perfected his design. Every one of them is top dollar that leads that line. And there's a lot of other guys out there. Pit Maker's another one of them. You know, and it's I love watching those guys put those pits together, you know, when they post pictures on Facebook, you know, and stuff like that. And, you know, Smoker Builder is just not just about, you know, you going out there and building your own pit. It's also about helping you fine-tune the pit that you did buy, as long as it's, you know, an awesome pit. Now, there's a lot of these guys go out, and we always make fun, you know, somebody goes to a box store and buys a little, you know, stamped out, Chinese made, you know, little bitty old, flimsy old grill. Usually either myself or Derek or somebody will post a picture of it on Facebook and say another angel just lost its wings. But, you know, at the same time, that's the gateway drug to getting into this whole barbecue thing, you know. So there's a place for that also, you know. I wouldn't be here today with my whole barbecue addiction if I wouldn't have bought that first Traeger 100, just saying, you know.
Something I didn't know, the fact that came out, and I'll say this on the air, is that Green Mountain Grills, Traeger Grills,
uh-oh,
and a whole bunch of these grills are all made by the same company in China.
That's dangerous territory right there.
You know, well, I mean, it's the truth, you know. And now, as far as I know, Cook Shack is not made by that one Chinese company.
No.
But you need to take a good look at the packaging in every notation that's on any, or Google your pellet grill to find out where it's made before you purchase it. And, you know, I know Green Mountain has went out and gave away a lot of grills, you know, and Traeger is an old, Traeger started it all.
Yeah, well, I gotta clarify that just a little bit, you know. And when it comes to manufacturing, we're looking for the cheapest source for the product. Just like a Ford or a GM, a lot of those parts come from out of country. Now, the vehicle was manufactured in USA, put together in USA. A lot of the components come from other places. And so, you know, there's a place for those grills. I'm not saying that you shouldn't buy one. But at the same time, you know, there's, you know, quality in some brands. I'm not going to say a brand, but quality in some brands is sacrificed in order to get high volume, you know. And there's a marketplace for, you know, for everybody. So, you know, if you you know, you don't have the money to spend on a custom-built pellet grill, or if you don't want to buy an FE100, you know, they're $3,800 cooker, all stainless, you know, awesome machines. You just got to feel out your market, you know. But so there's a place for all of them. But, yeah, you know, the biggest part of the components anymore, in order to get your product where you can sell in large volume and hit the majority of the United States or Great Britain or whatever market you're trying to hit, you got to cheapen the, you got to use, you know, a lot of different components that are made all over the world, you know. So, but
well,
now when you build it at home, you didn't do that.
Well, the reason I had to say that, and I said that for a reason, you know, Walmart says American made. They used to always say that.
Yeah.
Well, now the truth is 96% of everything is sold at Walmart comes from China. And then down in San Diego, there's a strait, and 96% of all that merchandise that we sell in the United States comes through that strait directly from China.
Yeah.
Now, the other 4% are from subcontractors of Chinese companies.
Wow.
And, you know, barbecue's supposed to be American. That's an American product. That's American. And, you know, we got to quit selling everything out to the Chinese, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like. And, you know, I'll get on my soapbox just for a minute. These companies, by God, they need to come back to America, put some damn American people to work and build damn grills, you know, because those are American jobs. This is American cuisine, you know. And, hey, I'm going to out you. If you're going to go to China, get all your components and whatever, okay, well, go to Europe and sell it.
Mm-hmm.
Go to Australia and sell it. Don't sell it in the boundaries of the United States. And I'm going to tell you something. The United States market, it's the largest market in the world. It is the most prestigious and the most money and the most and the best and all that. So if you bring that Chinese stuff in here and you represent American cuisine and it's a Chinese product, well, you gave them entrance into our heart and soul, what our country is all about, you know. And I just don't think it's right. And I think you guys need to rethink your manufacturing process. And I know that was an ugly thing to say as far as being politically correct, but, you know, you look around this table right here, and today, now, wealth is formed, you know. Now, I'll say this, you know, I got a background. Wealth is formed when you take a raw material and you make it into a valuable product.
Mm-hmm.
So when that tank was sitting out there, and that metal was sitting out there that you made the box and all the different parts of that cooker, and they were sitting out there on the edge of the woods there, it wasn't worth nothing or very little. But you two fellas, with everybody's help, took that material and turned it into that awesome cooking machine. So it cost a couple thousand to set it out there, or a thousand or less. But now you look at that magnificent cooker, and Lang would sell it for $6,500. So you've taken $500 or $1,000 worth of material, and you turn it into a $6,500. That's a $5,500 creation of wealth.
Mm-hmm.
Now, China does it all day, every day. They're creating
our wealth that they took away from us by them manufacturing Green Mountain Grills, Trigger Grills, Memphis Grills. I don't know who all.
I don't know about Memphis.
Oh, you don't?
I don't know about
that. I don't know who all is involved or whatever. But look, man, don't give the only thing we got away. Get our shit back. That's our stuff, man.
You know, the other thing about it, though, is, too, and I say this almost every week on the show, is that, you know, there ain't nothing like going, it's concerned as far as building your own pit. There ain't nothing like going to a barbecue contest and cooking against the big boys and getting that, hearing your name called on a pit that you built yourself with your kid or whatever, or your buddies, whatever happened there, but you built it yourself, you know, and, you cooked on it, you know, and you got people there, who knows who, you know, some of these guys on Pitmasters, whatever, at that contest, and you got your name called. That's a big deal, you know. Ain't nothing like winning on a pit. You know, I mean, anybody can go buy a cooker and learn that cooker and cook on it, you know, and that's part of it. But cooking on a pit that you built and getting your name called, that's a whole nother dynamic, you know. And that's what feeds us. That's what keeps us rolling. You know, or even just having somebody roll in here that's never had a tri-tip. We put that ugly drum together today in about 30 minutes or so, if you really add it up all the time. We cooked 3 tri-tips on it and a whole bunch of brats. And let me tell you, them bratwursts didn't last as long as I opened the foil, bam, they was gone, you know. And just hearing somebody rave about the food that they ate off that cooker, you know, that's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
You can't beat it.
Well, we've got about 13 minutes left, so let's start with Paul, and let's go around, and, you know, I just want everybody to take just a moment and, you know, say what Smoker Builder Forums and SmokerBuilder.com, and then being able to come up here this weekend and share and building this pit and the magic we had today, just what it means to you and what being a part of this community, you know, has meant in your life. Let's start with Paul.
Well, I mean, it means a lot to me, you know. It's weird because 2-3 years ago, I didn't even know Frank Koch. Never heard of him. I'm in Alabama. He's in the Ozarks, you know, and I hooked up on the forum actually one night at work, and he it was an act of Congress to teach me how to post a picture, but once I started learning how to post, they couldn't stop me. It's like every day I was posting pictures and stuff, you know. And man, it's just like when I met him, we met last year, we met together and went to the Jack together. Mm-hmm. And man, when we saw each other at the motel, I mean, he pulls in, I'm already there. We get out and we walk up and hug each other just like we've been brothers all our life. I mean, seriously. That's the way it happened. DC was there, same thing. So, you know, it's a great community. Being able to, you know, just ask, you know, being asked to come up here. I mean, the answer was yes before it ever got out of the question got out of his mouth, you know, because I knew that we were doing something that was a good thing, you know, for a good cause. And I believe in that type of stuff. I really, really do. I believe that, you know, you have to give back. And just being up here and doing this, and so I'm going to tell y'all guys, somebody's going to get a jam up cooker. I'm telling you, you know. And it's not all about that. It's about who you're helping in the process of doing it, which I'm glad, you know, I'm able to come up here. Great time with, you know, with my son Tyler, being up here with him, and I can definitely see this is not the last time this is going to happen. I can see it going on again, you know. So that's it's going to be an awesome thing.
Well, Zara, what's it mean to you? I mean, being a part coming up this weekend and being a part of the community.
Well, it means a lot. I mean, like Paul said, you know, it's a chance to give back to veterans who have done their part. I mean, that's what it's all about. These guys, they've spent their lives giving us the privilege and the rights to do what we can do. So the fact that we're able to give back just this little bit of thing to them, it means a lot. I think whoever wins this cooker,
one lucky son of a gun,
he's going to be real lucky. I'm pretty confident that we're just going to take it to my house because I'm going to buy so many tickets nobody else can have a chance. Now, my wife may divorce me when she sees the bill or what's all this withdrawal, but no, it's been fun today. Obviously, I was able to be here all day. but hopefully I'll be able to spend more time in the next couple of days. And really, just this is what barbecue is about. It's about getting together, doing something you love, and just having a great time with it. No stress. You know, like Paul has earlier, you know, you have people four wheel and a boat doing show car shows. This is what we do. And let's face it, you need some good barbecue in it. You can't pay that. You can't pay somebody to do that.
Yeah.
So.
Yep. All right, Forrest, how about you, man?
Oh, I guess Chance to associate with people as weird as me. Part of it, but for a good cause, obviously. And yeah, just sense of community. That's all about. And yeah, good food.
Tyler, I hasn't really asked you nothing because I don't put you on the spot, bro. But
no, you're fine.
Well, what's it mean to you, bud?
Well, I don't really get on the forums a lot, I guess, because I got school, work, and work all the time. My dad, I mean, he's always talking about it, talking about smokerbuilder.com, Frank. I talked to Frank, asked him all these questions. He told me what to do. You know, I guess I hear Cam's name a lot. You know, just all these guys. And, haven't really had a chance to meet everybody and really didn't know exactly what we were doing whenever he came up here. He just told me that we were going to be doing the cooker and he was going somewhere and then finally, you know, get up here and figure out, you know, what the cause is. And I don't know, I guess it kind of gives you some initiative to, you know, to make everything perfect and, you know, make it something desirable and, you know, good that it's going to help out, you know, better.
Yeah.
I guess it's a good thing to do, and everybody up here is real nice, put some awesome food today. you know, I had never had a tri-tip,
yeah.
I never had it, but it was amazing. Yeah, it's been fun so far. I guess just, you know, see how the rest of the weekend goes and get it knocked out.
Yep. Well, that's some big news, and I tell you, you know, one thing we all need is we need friends, and we need a place to go. We need to be able to go to a place where we feel wanted, and that's one thing that I really feel about this community is it's a place where you can go where you know where you stand, and you know where you're at, and people expect you to act right and be decent, and that's what Smoker Build is bringing, and I think that's really the essence of what it is, and I want to give Frank just a few minutes to say how he feels about being a part of the Smoker Builder community.
Oh, man, I never dreamed it would ever get to this point, you know. I guess it's just when I started out, I was on another set of forums, Smoker Tom and myself. Smoker Tom was member number two, and, you know, it was just really tough to bond in there with a bunch of builders in this other forum because it's other forums are mostly cooking, you know, there's this segregated crowd that gets over here in the corner that doesn't get noticed that wants to build, but the focus is not on the building. And so I felt the need to make a set of forums, you know, and a website about it. And, you know, so I did it, but shoot, Tom and I were talking the other day, it seems like yesterday, you know, November 2010, you know, it was him and me talking to each other. That was it. And, you know, then just, gosh, it wasn't a year ago. We were proud to have member number 200. Well, now we're at 2,300 members, you know, and it's growing every day. There's 4 to 5 people getting on every single day and joining up. And, you know, Facebook's got an even bigger following. You know, and it's just awesome, and I'm very grateful. So, you know, it just when you do something because you love it, it's bound to be successful, and that's kind of what this is, you know.
Well, I tell you, you know, being in a media position, you know, you're supposed to always say it was politically correct and all that, and you know, I try to do that as much as I can, but you know, also I created Barbecue Superstars. To try to help pull us back a little bit to what I think some of us have forgot. And that is that we are American citizens. And, you know, I was riding down the road the other day, and I was thinking, what is the most powerful thing right now in the world?
And, you know, you think, well, the U.S. military, without a doubt, is the most powerful thing in the world. And you think about some of these evil groups in the background, you know, you hear names, and I don't know what their names are, but, you know, doing stuff to do this and do that. Some of those evil people are the most powerful people in the world, but I beg to differ.
Yeah.
You know what, folks? I tell you what the most powerful thing in the whole world is, without a doubt, and that's American public opinion. And, you know, when 300 million Americans, or even 200, two-thirds of Americans, get mad about anything, whoever that guy is or person or group or nation that they get mad at, they better look out. Because, you know, the number one thing the rich people, the mega rich people in the world fear is when the old country boy that drinks a Budweiser, when all of them get mad about anything. And, you know, we got to come back and realize who we are, what made us great. And it's exactly what happened here today. It's hard work. It's busting ass. It's believing in what you can do, and it's working together. And if you look around at what happened today, it was about six or eight hardworking, strong, got their heads screwed on straight, American guys got together, and by God, they built a massive cooker, a drum smoker, did tri-tips. I don't know what all we cooked today, bratwurst, got everything set up, going to come back tomorrow and do it again. That is what made us successful in World War II, when the whole world was going to be taken over by Hitler. That's what made us successful in everything we've ever done. And that's what barbecue's all about. And I appreciate being able to come down and spend the weekend with SmokerBuilder.com. And I encourage everybody out there, you know, if you want to act like a American citizen of the 40s and 50s, a real strong, decent person like we were in the 50s, the golden age of America, go out, buy you some steel, try to build you a cooker, buy you a cooker, go down to the cul-de-sac of your community and organize a cookout. And cookouts, smoking meat, and big old parties is what Americans did. No one else. Now, they all want it now. You know why? Because American public opinion says that smoking meat and having a cookout is what you ought to do. And so everybody around the world is saying, uh-oh, that's what they said. Guess what? We better get our ass over here and try it. There might be something to it.
And KCBS has got contests over in Europe this year. Just started up. You know, Johnny Larson, the grillguru.dk, he's very active with that whole deal. You know, Great Britain, they got contests happening. It's going, man. It's going worldwide. It's a big deal.
It is. And you know what?
It all started here.
Plug it in. Plug in, man. You know, I did, and I want you to, too. Plug in. And we appreciate everybody coming by tonight. And anybody got the last word?
SmokerBuilder.com, Barbecue Superstars. Tune in.
All right. Now, we'll start again tomorrow. What time?
Oh, it'll probably be somewhere around 8 o'clock.
All right.
Like that. Ish. We always put an ish out there because it might be early. It might be a little bit late. We'll be there.
Same bat time, same bat channel. Just come to Barbecue Superstars front page, and we'll be ready to roll. And we love every one of you, and we hope you all have a great night. And, man, I talked about so much doggone. By the way, I do not answer calls with all ones. If you can't put your phone number up there, you don't get on. You do not get on Barbecue Superstars Radio. So thanks a lot. And what the heck, we'll end it off with a little Star Spangled Banner. Y'all have a great weekend, and I'm sorry I'm not going to stay on any longer, but we're all tired. We had a hell of a day, and we'll be back in the morning. Come and join us in the morning, 8 a.m. Central, so that'd be 9 o'clock Eastern, 6 o'clock a.m. in California. And we love every one of you. Good night. What you did today, so because what you did today is unbelievable.
All of a sudden, his computer starts fucking up.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
I cried.